Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
So relevant.
Yes.
Okay, so today we're talking about a TV show on Apple TV called C.
A little overdue. We know that the second season concluded a little while ago. I think it's been renewed for season three, though.
Yes, I think so, too. So they've definitely set it up for season three.
But also, at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like they ended it in a way where they could have just ended the show.
They could have. Yeah. Also, okay. So for those who don't know what it is, so it is called see, as in seeing things with your eyes, not the ocean.
Not the ocean. And it's a show about Jason Momoa being Jason Momoa.
Yes. Honestly, such great casting. Like, let's just have a moment for Jason Momoa and how badass he is in just in general, in life, in the show, and whatever.
I feel like every role that Jason Momoa is in, he's just playing himself, but every character he plays is still just a perfect fit for him playing himself. I don't know how else to put it.
I think there is mastery in his craft of acting, you know, like there is mastery happening there because.
But also him being himself.
Yeah. Like, I also just think that, like, this is how he is in real life too. I don't know. He's achieved this level of acting and existence that us peasants never will. So,
I mean, it's very interesting because, like, if I look at an actor like Johnny Depp, mm-hmm. Okay. Every role that he's in, he's playing a completely different person. Like, I remember early on when I was younger, I didn't realize that certain characters were all played by Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Until after the fact.
Yeah.
Because they were so different and his acting is so different. All right. Yeah. So very talented actor in that sense. With Jason Momoa, every role that he's in, I'm like, damn, that's Jason fucking Momoa.
Yeah.
All right. But it's still so perfect. Like when he plays Aquaman and in this show, when he's playing Baba Voss and when he plays Duncan Idaho in Dune, like, it's like he's playing the exact same person, which is himself.
Right.
But it's still like, I can't think of anybody else who could play the roles that he plays.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Okay. Yeah. Wait, let's backtrack a bit and talk about what is this show about? So it is set in a post-apocalyptic future.
Yes.
A dystopian future where essentially some sort of plague, disease, pandemic, if you will, has wiped out most of humanity, which this part, they just mentioned this part in like text in the beginning of the show. And I think I started laughing because I was like, wow, this is already too real. so some sort of disease has wiped out most of humanity. There's only 2 million people left. And whoever was left, I think all their descendants, maybe as a result of this disease, whoever had children, they were all born blind. And then all their descendants have been blind since then. So now we are in a society that's something like 500 years in the future. Mm-hmm. And it is a completely blind society.
Yes.
However, at this point in time, when we joined the show, we meaning the audience, sight is starting to come back in certain individuals here and there. But because it's 500 years in the future, you have a blind society. Essentially, the majority of people think that having sight was a bad thing, and that's what led to the destruction of civilization anyway. So what was America, I guess, is now called Paion. Paya? What's the name of the country again? Paion? No, Paya. Yeah. It's just Paya. The people of Paya are called Paians. And there's a queen. Her name is Queen Kane. And she's got a whole witch finder army. And anyone who has the ability to see is considered to be witches.
Yes.
So
I don't know if it was necessarily clear that this kingdom covered the entirety of the continental United States.
I don't know if it was
a big chunk of it.
It was definitely the East Coast, because where they are, it's like Philadelphia or something. It's somewhere in Pennsylvania where they are. Because they mentioned that several times in the show at some point. Right. Just in passing, they mention whatever. So
is there a dam in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, there is. And that same dam, it's called the same thing in the show as it is in real life. So that's also another way that you know, like, oh, this is in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I forget the name of the dam right now, but it does. That dam does exist in real life.
I feel like I should look this up.
Okay. You look that up. I'll finish explaining about the show.
Yes, please.
So essentially we start the show with Jason Momoa's character, whose name is Baba Voss, which I thought was an interesting name. By like halfway through season one, I was like, Baba Voss. Yeah, Baba Voss, you know? So I was feeling it. So at the beginning of the show, there is this woman named Magra, and she is about to give birth to twins. And you find out she and Baba Voss are together, but they are not his children. She actually arrived at his village months prior, and she was already pregnant, and we don't know where she came from, blah, blah, blah. But Baba Voss loves her. She loves him. And they have these twins together. We find out they are actually the children of this man named Jurla Morel, which that is such a tongue twister, that name.
I know. Some of the names in the show, I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like, where did these come from? This is so... I want to meet whoever came up with the names of these characters. And I'm like, what did you base it on? How did you
know? What were you thinking?
No, because I do think that if you have a blind society,
right,
coming out of the ashes of a society that depended very much on sight, you know, you have all things like books, anything that's documented, it is useless to a blind person unless it was written in Braille or whatever, you know?
Right.
And, so then I wonder, like, what happens to things like names? You know, like, do you...
Right.
You start creating your own culture then.
Yes.
At that point. So...
Yes.
But anyway.
Which is one of the most interesting things about this show, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world building.
Mm-hmm. Wait, just to finish my recap. So the twins, we find out that they can see. Bum, because Jurla Morel can see. So that's also what we find out. Anyway, that's how it takes. And then... Literally, episode two is like 19 years into the future after those kids are born. Right. So, and then the rest of season one and two is them as like, I don't know, how old are they? 18, 19, 20?
Something like something that.
Yeah.
Still very young. I would say it's still teenagers, probably.
Yeah.
But like later teens.
Yeah. But anyway, we wanted to talk about the show, like you were saying, Iman, because just to discuss the world building and what.
Yeah.
Would society actually look like if, you know, something like that happened where all of a sudden humans have gone blind, they have no sight, all their descendants are blind.
Yeah. What's interesting though about the world building, which I got to give the makers of the show a lot of credit here. They didn't just think about what would a society look like that was blind and how it would develop, but they gave a lot of thought to what would a society that is entirely blind look like with the tools of our current society, not the tools, but the materials at least left over by our society, a sighted society at their disposal.
Yeah.
You know, so like this is a society that doesn't have mining, for example. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is building a society that is salvaging metals and other kinds of materials from what was left behind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of thoughtfulness that went into this. And I think it was very, very well executed, actually, which really, really impressed me.
Yeah. Same here. They had thought of things and put so much thought into the details of things of how people were interacting, how, like, I thought that was so interesting how one sort of, well, not a written form, but like one way of communicating was through knots.
Yes.
Like literally on a string, you would have different kinds of knots tied and they would mean different things. And so they would feel through these strings and that's how they sent messages.
Yeah. And if you think about it, that is probably a more efficient way of quote unquote written communication than mm-hmm. even something like Braille. Like Braille is adapted specifically for the tools that exist in a sighted society, i.e. paper, mm-hmm. you know? But if you have a society that's entirely blind, knots on rope and string actually makes more sense. So there's a lot of little details like that that I thought were really, really good. But the thing that I love the most about this show, and I think it is what led to a lot of acclaim for this show amongst different disability foundations and communities and organizations, is that the blindness of this society does not make them an incapable society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, especially in season two, Baba Voss makes it really clear to his kids that their sight is a handicap.
Yeah.
Actually, mm-hmm. you know, and you have these moments where Baba Voss is like this badass fighter, you know, and part of the reason he is a badass fighter is because he's blind and is relying on his sense of hearing, because in a way he has a better awareness of the world around him because he can hear in 360 degrees.
Yeah.
Whereas you can see only what's in front of you.
Right. I would say it's not just his hearing too. He's using his sense of smell and touch, you know, like he's using it all way, way more heightened than someone who can see.
Like a more comprehensive view in a sense of everything that's happening around him.
Yeah.
Better spatial awareness. That's the term I was thinking of. Spatial awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No. And I like that discussion that they have on this show where, where they keep kind of reminding the twins, you know, and as a result, the viewer, the audience, that just because like you're saying, you know, like just because you can see doesn't put you at an advantage over the rest of these characters.
Yes.
And so that was really interesting. Shoot. I forget what the other thing was that I was going to say. It's gone.
I'm sure it'll come back to you.
Yeah. But anyway, what did you think of the fact that this society went back to a monarchy?
I thought it was really interesting, actually, because if you read a lot of different fictions that take societal evolution into account, or even like video games like Civilization, you know, they follow the trajectory of how human civilization has advanced. So in a sense, when the entire world collapsed and you were only left with people who are blind, you know, you almost had a restart from the beginning of civilization. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that you would go back to older governmental systems like tribes and then after that, the more advanced version of it, like, you know, so you've got the village that Baba Voss is in and he's kind of the chief of this village. And but then you've got a larger grouping of people and that is run by a monarchy and a council.
Yeah,
basically. Mm-hmm. And you need that sort of advancement in governmental entity, in governmental structures to be able to run different sizes of communities and civilizations. So I actually thought it was very, very interesting that they went backwards in human history because it was almost like a restart and a refresh of this. You know, you can't run a kingdom with a tribal structure.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. You have to move to a feudal and monarchic system.
Yeah.
And as things continue to get more advanced, and part of it is tied to the number of people that are working in coordination. And part of it is also the level of prosperity.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So as If I'm looking at the world of C and trying to look forward to, all right, what is the next stage of this evolution? Mm-hmm. All right. You see a lot more in season two also that the Kingdom of Paya is actually run a lot more by vassal states rather than direct territorial, all right, which is a form that you saw a lot more in the Ottoman Empire, with how the Ottoman Empire was run and with how the kingdoms of pre-colonial Southeast Asia were run, all right? Okay. Where it wasn't about the amount of territory that you controlled, like physical land territory. It was about the number of people that you controlled. Mm-hmm. So you would set up little cities and fortresses and whatnot, and the individual viceroys or whatever who are running it were basically vassals to the central monarchy or the central kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that was a way of marshaling larger amounts of resources towards whatever endeavor was happening. And people don't seem to realize this because the way we draw our maps now sort of assumes geographical control. Yeah. Right. But the Ottoman Empire's borders were not about the physical control of the land. Mm-hmm. It was about the vassal states that they had. And yeah. the limited territory sort of being knitted together mm-hmm. into an empire.
Right.
And you would have the same thing in Southeast Asia, where if you tried to draw borders and look at it with a picture map, mm-hmm. it may not make a lot of sense, because you would have, like, if you've got one kingdom that's blue and one, it would look more like our gerrymandered maps.
Yeah.
in America right. than it would like maps of countries or states that we have now.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it was about controlling people. So you had this structure in the show Seat, mm-hmm. all right? But once regular people start to see more economic prosperity,
mm-hmm.
all right, you end up having to have structures that give them more voice in government.
Yeah.
All right. And in the affairs of state. And that's literally how democracy developed in Athens as well. Mm-hmm. All right. It developed because the common people were like, what the fuck is up with these rich people?
Yeah.
Fuck this shit. Let's go right. kill the rich people and then we'll be good. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And then some guy developed this system of democratic voting on issues where everybody, and by everybody, I mean male
landowners,
estate holders, and people who aren't idiots could vote on the affairs mm-hmm. of the state. But yeah. still, that's a step forward to serfdom type of systems.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
And an increase in economic prosperity amongst more people is also what led to the Magna Carta. And then onwards, then you had, that's how the House of Commons then rose up, and the House of Lords in the UK. And you have, and then the kind of democratic republic that we have now in the US, And also with the Roman Empire, being a republic of representative government, actually, rather than a direct democracy, you know? So
right.
in the world of C,
uh-huh.
I can kind of see this transition where you've got the crazy monarch starting to do crazy shit, all right?
Yeah.
And people being like, time for this bitch to go.
Yeah.
Evolving into the next system. I'm interested to see where the show takes this.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised to see a monarchy, because I would imagine in a society that is not all of a sudden, but fairly suddenly, you know, very like most of the population has died, rest of them are blind, you know, and there's a lot of chaos in that. And yes. so it doesn't surprise me that they would turn to a monarchy then.
Yes, I was going to say the abrupt blindness also leads to, like you had mentioned before, a loss of knowledge.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
because we record knowledge through
sight
mostly through visual means, mm-hmm. through texts and whatnot, and all of that is all of a sudden gone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and even you know, like I'm thinking about like. Yeah, you know, of course there are audio recordings of things and that, you know, we have stuff like that too. But even the way you access those audio recordings, yes. you still need sight. You know, it's just kind of crazy to think about how we would go from right now where we have like computers and smartphones and whatever. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, 500, 1,000 years in the future, we could be looking at something that looks like the past for us, right. you know? So right. that was also really interesting too. It was very, very trippy for me, especially when in season two, at one point, the twin daughter, Honeywa, mm-hmm. their names are Honeywa and Kofun. So Honeywa, she gets captured. And then by, what is that, the name of that city or state or country or whatever?
Ah, yes, Titan. Yeah. I think Titan, where yeah. Ido Voss is a
yes.
general.
Yes. Yeah, so on Titan, it looks like they had taken over like a big city. That's yes. where they were operating. There were like all these buildings and whatever. What did they call them? Godbone? Anything
God metal.
That? No, Godbone. I'm pretty sure it was bone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The metal is called
Godbone. Oh, yeah. The metal is called Godbone. Yeah, 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 yeah. So I thought that was interesting too. And mm-hmm. God Flame and God Bone, like that. Those were interesting right. terms. But yeah, so at one point, like Honey was like walking through like an apartment that yeah. looks like present day. But previously mm-hmm. throughout the whole show, we had seen them like in, you know, makeshift kind of like hut right. type things and mm-hmm. running through the forest and yeah. hunting shit and whatever. So that contrast was so trippy to me. All of a sudden, like seeing her in like an apartment building that has like a TV and yeah. like all this stuff. So that was weird.
I actually thought that was a very interesting moment. Mm-hmm. Because this was an apartment that was in a skyscraper.
Yeah. Right.
If you have a society of people that are blind, essentially means that you have certain limitations on your sensory input. All right. Mm-hmm. When you can see further away. So yeah. this is a society that doesn't want to go too high up.
Right. You want to stay right? grounded, you know, where you yeah. can feel the earth and yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where mm-hmm. you can feel the earth, stability. You don't have to worry about falling to your death immediately.
Right.
All right. With one step. Yeah. All right. So she ends up in this apartment that's untouched because yeah. you have entire and hasn't been salvaged for parts, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
All mm-hmm. right. And that I thought was very, very interesting that you had this dystopian future, this post-apocalyptic dystopian future where yeah. an entire society of blind people have had to restart society and restart civilization, mm-hmm. salvaging the parts of what existed prior.
Yeah.
But they can only salvage so much.
Yeah.
And I thought mm-hmm. that was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And very thoughtful in how yeah. they made this show.
That's so true.
Interesting thing about this city, Titan.
Yeah.
Slave economy.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Slavery came back with a bang in yes. this society. Wow. But of course, in a blind society, it's not. So yeah, that was another thing. Racism, not a thing.
Yeah.
In this blind society, that was very interesting to see.
Yes.
And which I'm very glad that. Because it's so annoying when you see these futuristic movies, mm-hmm. TV shows, and it's all white people. And it's like, why? So yeah. that would make absolutely no sense for this show if they did that.
Right.
So, but yeah, slave economy. That was interesting.
You know who else had a slave economy?
Like everyone at some point?
Sparta.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just interesting because it was concurrent in the same time as Athens that had direct democratic rule.
I mean, that sounds about right.
So, I mean, it was just an interesting juxtaposition. We live in a world of,
yeah, contradiction.
I just thought it was an interesting thing to see in this show where yeah. you had a slave economy and a monarchy happening yeah. at the same time.
Right. That's true.
I just thought that was very interesting to see that because we have seen that in history as well.
Yeah, that's true. What did
I had no other point other than that.
Oh, that's fine. That what did I kind of wish the show went more into this, but so there was Titan and then mm-hmm. there was Pensa, which is where, you know, Baba Voss, the twins, Magra, they all kind of end up there.
Yes.
Making after what was the name of the place that the queen used to live and then she went crazy?
Oh, the name of the city?
Yeah. What was it? Something with a K?
Kinzua. And yeah, I had looked that up because that was the name of the dam.
Yeah, it exists,
that
right?
That is the name of the dam.
That yeah. is the name of the dam.
The Kinzua Dam.
Yeah. So that gets all destroyed. And then yep. they move to Pensa, which, by the way, I think it's a play off of Pennsylvania. Pensa.
Oh, I didn't really think of that.
Thought of that myself. Nice, thought of it myself. Nice. Anyway.
Well done. Well done. Congrats.
Thank you. So what was Pensa's economy? Like, what was their whole
thing? Were a vassal. They were a vassal state to Kinzua.
Yeah.
All right. So that was part of the same,
like salvaging for parts and stuff. And that
was the same part of the same civilization that the queen came from. And that's what I was talking about, where this monarchy is running this kingdom through a network of vassal states.
Right.
And a personal army, basically.
No, what I'm asking is, how were they making their money and stuff? How were they running? You know, Titan was running off of a slave economy.
Yeah, so. I think there was a lot of agriculture.
Yeah. Okay.
There was
a lot of mention of crops now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure. I wasn't really focused on that part.
Yeah.
Because when you have empires and kingdoms that exist because of a network of vassal states, each one of these vassal states has a specialization, basically.
Right. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Which feeds the broader empire. Right. And actually, you saw this in the old Soviet Union as well, where their military industrial complex had parts being produced in different places. So for example, when the Soviet Union collapsed, their nuclear weapons technology was spread out across all of these different states. But none of them had all of the parts to build an entire thing. You know, you would have the drivetrain of trucks and tanks built and I'm making it up now, in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
And you had the tires produced in Turkmenistan.
Yeah.
And so in these old ancient kingdoms, it would also be similar, where not exactly the same and not to that, and you wouldn't have fragmentation to that extent, but so-and-so would specialize in making weapons. So-and-so would have, because this was a city that was placed near a forest, they would have a lot more, they would probably harvest more trees for the use of the empire and things like that.
This is honestly just reminding me of the board game Catan now. So,
Catan.
But also very timely reference to the Soviet Union, Aman. Do want to acknowledge that everything that's happening to Ukraine right now, thanks to Vladimir Putin, is a complete shit show. So that's a mess.
It's a mess. And it's a topic that hits close to our hearts.
Yeah, because we used to live in Ukraine.
As kids, yeah.
Yeah, we lived in the capital in Kyiv. But we will go much deeper into this topic on a different episode. We want to give it the thought and consideration that it deserves. So
yes,
but yeah, shout out to Ukraine and them kicking Russian asses right now so far,
and I hope just for the peace and well-being of everyone there. And hopefully this calamity, and I do mean calamity, finds a peaceful resolution, although I don't see how right now today.
I know. It's very unclear whether this is going to be like a days long thing or a months long or years long.
Or years long thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's just no clue as to, but anyway.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah. So timely reference to the Soviet Union, Aman. Well done.
Yeah. Hard not to.
Yeah.
It's on my mind.
Yeah, yeah, same. But yeah, going back to
see.
Yeah. What was I? There was another topic I was going to bring up that was interesting about their society.
They actually had blind consultants for this show.
Yes, they did.
Blindness consultants.
Yes.
For the show. Yeah.
A better term to use. Yeah. And maybe some of them were actually blind, but
yes,
all of them. Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's important. You have to have...
you have to do your research. We've talked about this a lot of times, where it's like about representation. All right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You gotta do your fucking homework.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right? Do your goddamn homework.
Yeah.
Have people that are part of the communities that you are showing, not just in front of the camera, but also behind the camera, and do your goddamn homework.
Yep.
All right. Yep. And that makes all the difference. And I don't know about for you, Lena, but for me, it made all the difference in this show.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
100%.
I was not so hot on this show for season one. All right. Oh, but really? As season one went along, I really got into it. And it's because without not being a blind person myself, not having ties to the blind community, as just a regular viewer, I could feel a lot of the authenticity that went into the making of this show. Mm-hmm. You know, I could feel it. As somebody who was uninformed, I could feel that authenticity. It showed.
Yeah.
The homework showed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Even sure. If you don't realize exactly what the homework was, you still feel it in your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that is the biggest difference that is made. So, and unfortunately, I mean, we don't see it a lot when it comes to racial and ethnic diversity. I mean, I think that's where a lot of the really big blunders come, because there's a lot of people who just think like, oh yeah, I can totally write for this character. Like if I don't share any parts of that same identity with this character, they still think they can write for them without doing any research.
Yeah, and, I mean, not to say that you can't write for them.
Yeah, no, but you have to put in the research.
You got to do your goddamn homework.
Yeah, exactly. And they did that for this show. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So big, big shout out to makers of C for doing their fucking homework.
Going back to, so I had mentioned how like in a blind society, you wouldn't really have racism, but
yeah,
I wonder, two things I'm wondering. So I wonder if there would be other forms of prejudice just by maybe hearing someone's voice and judging the way they speak or something like that. And then
we do that now.
Yeah. So I would guess there would still be some form of prejudice, because as humans, that's what we're best at. So that was one thing I was wondering. And then another thing, for anyone who had vision in this show, which is like, it's like a handful of people, right?
Yeah.
Less than that. But for like for the twins, Haniwan, Kofun, I wonder if they started forming their own prejudices and what, because they could see, you know, they could tell like, oh, that lady has darker skin than this person, you know, like they could tell these, they knew that about themselves, you know, too. It's like,
I thought about that, and I'm of two minds about this. I remember a long time ago reading about a study that newborn babies are inherently racist to a certain extent. They tend to, And it's kind of genetic, of like, you tend to be friendlier towards people who look more like you.
Okay.
All right. But the thing is, as we grow up, how we learn to identify us versus them is something that is taught. Mm-hmm. All right. So if Haniwa and Kofun are taught that us and them is based on who you are in contact with, what we as in the us sound like, all right, and how we operate, all right, then that is how they are going to form their prejudices.
Yeah.
Based on what are the identifying markers that they learn growing up.
Yeah.
And for them, I think it would be the same as the people that raised them.
Right.
The visual aspects, I don't think would factor in for their prejudice.
Interesting. Yeah, because no one's talking about it even.
And they themselves are living in a tribe that has a multitude of different ethnicities. You know? So even if they learn to identify like, oh, you look different. All right. But for them, they're also taught that we're all the same. So they just wouldn't use that, because that's not what they were taught.
Yeah. I think also, you're right. Like, and they would also be more focused on the fact that they feel different. They feel like the outsiders.
Yes.
And then they also had to pretend their whole lives that they were blind with everyone else except their parents and her name? The seer later. Yeah. What was her character's name again?
I forget.
Paris.
Paris. Oh my God.
That was another interesting thing. Yeah.
That was one of the few names that was easy to pronounce in this show.
No, but that was another thing that where I was like, okay, you have Baba Voss, Magra, Honeywa, and Kofun, and then Paris. Like, I don't know. It was just so interesting. Like, I was like, where are these names coming from? Like, yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
I want someone to do like a deep dive on the names of C.
And, yes. Yeah. I did not find any research along those lines.
Yeah, me neither. But yeah, anyway. So
have we succeeded in making C relevant?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. It kind of gave me hope that, you know, humans will find a way to make survival happen. I don't know. Even if they lose something as huge as one of their senses.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we are very adaptable if history has taught us anything.
If history has taught us anything. As long as we don't all get eaten by bears like at the same time. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to talk about. I thought it was interesting. No, not bears specifically, but like, but about how animals can still see in this world, but humans cannot. And I just thought that was very interesting because like that whole scene where Baba Voss, when the twins are babies, and then he has to fight off a bear. I was like, he's not going to make it. Like he's, you know, and then that, in that scene.
I totally forgot about the bear.
Yeah. Like, and the thing is the bear can see him and obviously smell him and whatever too. But like, and you don't know actually if you're hiding from the bear, like he's hiding behind a tree, but he's like, I don't know if the bear can still see me or not. And so,
but you know, what's interesting about bears?
Yeah.
Their sense of smell is like 12 times better than a bloodhound's.
Ooh, that's interesting.
They can smell you back in time.
Right. So I don't think, so obviously, specifically in the case of bears, I think that bears would rely more on their scent than anything else.
Yes.
But it was just interesting, right? That like animals can see you, but you can't see them. And you have no idea like what's going to, like, I think that is another reason why the human population around the world also got down to 2 million. I bet it was more than that. And then a lot of them got eaten by animals or killed by animals and
stuff. By bears.
Yeah. So that was very interesting. And then in the end, Baba Voss was saved by Jurla Morell in that scene.
Oh, like, yeah.
By a sighted man because he.
Yes. Because it's very hard to fight a bear.
Yeah.
Under normal circumstances.
Under any circumstances, yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, that was interesting. So, I think
the whole notion, actually, just a touch before we wrap up, Baba Voss's the fight scenes in this show.
Oh my god, right? So good.
First of all, fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay. Second, Baba Voss sneaking around. All right.
Yes. Yes.
It all happens in bright daylight.
Yeah.
Day and nighttime is not critical to that your ability to sneak around.
Exactly. That was another cool thing that and I loved that, like, for example, whenever they showed the queen in like Kanzua or wherever, you know, whenever they were indoors somewhere, it's not like they need light bulbs. They don't need electricity. They need fires for heat, but there was no need for any sort of light to be indoors because you don't need to see. So that was really details like that where I honestly wouldn't have thought of it unless I was like, why is it so dark in there? Oh, right. Because they don't, doesn't matter.
Yes, this was definitely another one of those shows that made me glad I upgraded my TV because previously on my old TV, I could not see crap.
Yeah.
If
the scene was dark. Yeah. Anyway. Well, yeah. So to conclude.
Action sequences kick ass.
Yeah.
Baba Voss sneaking around, even in the middle of a fight, sneaking around behind his enemy, bright daylight.
Also, did you just notice in general that Baba Voss just walked differently from everyone else? He's way more crouched down to the ground always, like at all times. Yep. And everyone else, you know, they've got their walking sticks and they're just kind of still walking upright. But he's always like on the ground, like very much like in tune with the earth and his surroundings and stuff.
But also more than that, kind of always dragging one foot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It always dragging one foot because he's off more quite often not using a walking stick to test the ground in front of him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can tell that that style of walking is what allows him to be as sneaky as he is in this society of blind people.
Yep. I thought that was,
as a result, hear very well, probably.
Yeah. I thought that was a great way to set his character apart from the others too.
Yes.
Just by his way of walking.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, very interesting. Very well done.
Yeah. The details in the show, I feel like we could talk about forever.
Oh, but... and you know, that's such a big part of good world building. Mm-hmm. I think is the details.
Yes.
You know, it reminded me of this scene in The Mandalorian early on, where Din Djarin walks into the walking through Mos Eisley, mm-hmm. all right, or Mos Espa, whichever one of those Tatooine towns, and you just see a bunch of stormtrooper helmets stuck on stakes.
Yeah.
All right. And that one little detail made clear exactly what kind of town this is, where you are in the time period mm-hmm. of this show, all right, and kind of the environment mm-hmm. that exists, and all of that with just that one little shot, that one little attention to detail communicated all of that to the audience. That's one of the big things with world building. You got to pay attention to all these little details that mm-hmm. build out the world.
Yeah,
you know,
it makes it so much more interesting for everyone involved.
Yes, I think absolutely
for the people creating the movie or show and the audience as well. So
yeah,
so shout out to C for doing such a great job of world
and
building.
Shout out to Apple for giving them the amount of funding needed to build the world at the level of detail that they did. Well done. Good use of your billions of dollars, Apple.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, there's, I'm sure that was like pity cash for them. Anyway, all right. Well, on that note, thank you, as always, for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.